Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Church of the Redeemer, and welcome to those watching via the online streaming. If you haven't already, those of you who are watching, you can go to redeemernc.com and pull up our service bulletin so you can follow along the readings and the prayers, which we encourage you to do. And also, we invite you to participate fully in the service and to join us in the fellowship of the Lord's table and communion. The Spirit is here with us. The Holy Spirit is also with you. And through Him, we are one in Christ. As we come before the Lord, before His throne, where He welcomes us graciously to give us help and mercy and grace in our time of need. So I invite you to stand and let's begin our worship today. And may God grant us the grace to worship Him in spirit and truth. Alleluia. Christ is risen. Let us pray together the Collect for Purity. Almighty God, to You all hearts are open, all desires known, and from You no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of Your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love You and worthily magnify Your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what the Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Lord, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. And I invite you for a time of quiet prayer in the presence of the Lord. And I encourage you to commend to Him any anxieties, any fears that you have, and to bring any distractions under His authority and sovereignty. Amen. Let us pray the Gloria together. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to His people on earth. Lord God, Heavenly King, Almighty God and Father, we worship You, we give You thanks, we praise You for Your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, You take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. For You alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, in the glory, the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, whom truly to know is everlasting life, grant us so perfectly to know Your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the way, the truth, and the life, that we may steadfastly follow His steps in the way that leads to eternal glory. Through Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated as God's Word is read.
The first lesson is a reading from the book of Deuteronomy. When your son asks you in time to come, what is the meaning of testimonies and the statutes and the rules that the Lord our God has commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, we were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and grievous against Egypt and against Pharaoh and all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from there that he might bring us in and give us the land that he swore to give our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as we are this day. And it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to do all this commandment before the Lord our God, as he commanded us. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read responsibly by the whole verse from Psalm 66. Shout for joy to God, all the earth.
Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise.
Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies come cringing to you.
All the earth worships you and sings praises to you. They sing praises to your name.
Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds toward the children of man.
He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. There did we rejoice in him.
Who rules by his might forever, whose eyes keep watch on the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves.
Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard.
Who has kept our soul among the living and has not let our feet slip?
For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried.
You brought us into the net. You laid a crushing burden on our backs.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
The second lesson is a reading from Peter's first letter. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to the holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "Behold, I am laying in a Zion stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know the way where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. Let us pray. Oh, Father, we thank you for the great and precious promises that we have through Jesus Christ. And it's his name that we come to you. And it's by his name that we pray to you and ask you, God, to bring us fully into your marvelous light. We ask you in his name that we might all grow up into our salvation through Jesus Christ. And that this day the earth would be filled with the knowledge of your glory through Jesus Christ. That people would come to know him. And I pray that today we would experience your work of making us into his image. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. In the context of our gospel today, John chapter 14, Jesus has completed the Last Supper with his disciples and he's interacted with them. And now it would seem that he's gotten up and they've gotten up with him to leave and to go from there to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he will spend time in prayer before he's arrested. And it would seem that as they were getting up, Jesus began to teach them. John 14, 15, and 16 are Jesus' teachings to the disciples. And then John 17, he closes his teaching with a prayer over them and over all who would come to believe in him. In John chapter 14, Jesus begins his teaching and immediately encourages the disciples to let not their hearts be troubled, to be at peace. But in John chapter 14, verse 9, Jesus asks Philip a probing question. Philip, one of the 12, one of his apostles, who'd been with him during his ministry. And it reveals as much about Jesus as it does Philip. Jesus asks him, have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Have I been with you so long and you still do not know me, Philip? Imagine being with Jesus and Jesus looking into your eyes, maybe even placing a hand on your shoulder and saying to you intently, have I been with you so long and you still don't know me? Maybe that is something that he says to you. Maybe he's saying that to you this morning. The question doesn't serve to condemn Philip. It doesn't serve to condemn us. But it does reveal a sorrow and I think a disappointment, a letdown in Jesus' heart. Because he really wants us to know him thoroughly and deeply. And he really wants to know us. He may say something like this straightforward to us. You realize that you still don't really know me. And the other side of the coin is that maybe we haven't let Jesus into our lives really to know us as much as he would like. It's not easy, and it's definitely no longer natural for people to know someone as closely as Jesus would like for us to know him, and as closely as he would like to know us. Developing a close relationship with anyone, even someone that we love the most and enjoy the most, takes time, takes energy, commitment. It takes intentionality driven by a desire and a delight in the person. Growing close to someone takes unhurried time and discovery. Very priceless commodities, unhurried time and discovery. Growing close to someone takes contemplation of that person, reflecting on them. During the recent weeks that my sister and I spent time in Texas during my dad's final months in the fall, we often shared with each other about how much we're learning about him that we hadn't known before. My sister and I grew up in the same house with him until our college days. At that time, he and my mom were divorced. He moved to Texas. Both my sister and I moved to South Carolina, so there was a great geographical distance between us. And so over the last 30 years, our growing in our relationship with him was limited by that distance. And while we were staying at his house, we had the blessing of interacting with quite a few of his friends, his former co-workers that we, you know, were in the midst of them together, and we also talked to them on our own. And it was quite a few times that my sister and I would wonder aloud to each other, who is this guy that they're talking about? Because it just wasn't the part of our dad that we knew. We really didn't know much about the work side of my dad, or even too much about the Texas side of my dad. You know, we had grown up with him, and so the dynamic of our knowledge of him was really based on the immaturity that we had while growing up. We knew him during our younger days, and growing in the perspective of knowing him as adults was really limited and was very gradual based on the distance that we had. So we really enjoyed learning about him, but we're still troubled about how little we knew about this man who was our dad, who we had spent, you know, years living with. And so it was there during that time that we saw and heard so much more than we had experienced of him. And Jesus' question to Philip brought that to mind, because I think he is addressing that limited knowledge that so many of us have, and really all of us have a limited knowledge of Jesus compared to his infinite glory. So he's addressing that to Philip when he says, "Have I been with you so long and you still do not know me, Philip?" And it's definitely not automatic for us to get to know Jesus. Even though the truths about him, like he's always with us, he wants to know us, he loves us, are very apparent and true throughout the Gospels, and we experience that, yet we don't grow in our knowledge of him just by going about our lives in this world and focusing on other things and by the fact that he's there with us. We need to be in his presence, consciously learning of him, and also focusing on him in the midst of other people, family and friends, who give us more perspective about Jesus, who enable us to see Jesus interacting with others in our midst, sometimes even through us. And we must engage in an intentional exploration and contemplation of Jesus, that we might truly reflect on who he is and invite him during that unhurried time to reveal himself to us. And it's through this growing and an ever-maturing relationship with Jesus that we come to know him better, and beneficially to us to experience the fulfillment of his promises and his blessings in our lives. The blessings flow from Jesus himself, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And he is the only way for us to come to the Father. And the Bible says that it's through the Father that all blessings flow. Every good and precious gift comes to us from the Father. And we can only come to Him through Jesus. And the Gospels reveal that Jesus' heart is to know us and even to be known by us. Throughout this chapter of John, but also throughout the whole conversation he has with his disciples in 14, 15, and 16, and then in his prayer in verse 17, he shows us his passion for us. And his encouragement from the beginning of the text is for us to know him in such a way that our hearts would not be troubled at all in this world. Jesus's revelation of himself, it's not an image of a God who is distant or cold-hearted. It's not someone going through the motions and giving us some rules. This is someone who is passionate about those whom he loves. And he's going to demonstrate that passion in the cross, suffering that he might be with us forever. And Jesus says this to his disciples, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." That's Jesus' desire, that where he is for eternity, each and every one of us, you would be there also with him. So he's preparing a place for us to be with him forever. And Jesus speaks with an eternal perspective, not just about life in this world, but life forever. And he invites us into a relationship with him that will never end, but continue to develop. Think about that. That is how much Jesus loves each and every one of us. It's how much he loves you, that he wants to enter into a relationship with you that will never end, where he can spend eternity knowing you and you knowing him. What Jesus is saying in this teaching is that true belief in God, if you really believe in God, the creator of all things, then you will believe in Jesus as he is revealed in the scripture. And he makes it plain for us. No one comes to the Father except through me. No one comes to the Father, God, except through me. In other words, you can't believe in God to any good benefit for yourself apart from a relationship with Jesus Christ that enables you to come into God's presence, into his family, to be reconciled to him and have peace with him. Nobody's doing God a favor by saying something like, "Oh yeah, I believe in God. I try to be a good person." As if you've got God's back or something. It doesn't do God any favors. Or to say something like, "I believe in God, but in my own way." I'm sorry, but what Jesus is revealing is there is no other way except him and through him. The half-brother of Jesus, who is James, writes in his letter in chapter 2, verse 19, he says, "Oh, you believe in God. You believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder." You see, even the devil's a spiritual person. It is only through a relationship with Jesus that we truly come into a beneficial knowledge of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit and enter into his kingdom that is an eternal kingdom. And it's through this faithful relationship that we can experience the peace from God that is an everlasting peace that is so powerful that even in this world where there's trials and tribulations, we have no need to let our hearts be troubled. This encouragement from Jesus, "Let not your hearts be troubled," speaks to the human struggle that is ongoing in this world with trouble. We're constantly faced with trouble. Troubles that are internal, like fear and anxiety, worry, despair, dread, anger, etc. And then the trials that we face out in the world that are external to us. The basics: hunger, shelter, clothing, conflicts, all of that. And now virus, diseases. At the very end of this teaching, at the end of John chapter 16, Jesus sums it up and he said, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. I've said these things that you might have peace in me. Yeah, you're going to have tribulation in the world. There's going to be trials and conflict. There's going to be viruses and diseases and accidents. There's going to be tragedies. But take heart, I've overcome the world. Even in the midst of these tribulations and trials, don't let your hearts be troubled. In Jesus, we may have peace because he's overcome the world. And therefore, we will be with him forever in an eternal kingdom. Jesus speaks of our place in God's kingdom, a place prepared for us by him, so that we can be safe with him forever in a place that is a paradise that will never decrease, that will never decay, that it is secure because God is the Lord Almighty, the most powerful, the creator of all things. So we don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be troubled. And you never have to be alone, even in this world, because Jesus is with you through the Holy Spirit. Well, what about now in this world, in the midst of these struggles and the danger that we face? Well, the first thing that Jesus tells us, I think, that is the foundation of our peace and hope is that we have a secure place in his kingdom forever. Through him, we have eternal life. That's number one. But then Jesus tells us that as we live in this world believing in him, we have peace through him. And even that we will do great works through him. He even said greater works than he has done. And that whatever we ask in his name, he'll do it for us so that God will be glorified. And Jesus goes on to say in the next paragraph of John 14, after our text that we read, that he's going to send us the Holy Spirit, a helper who will be with us forever, the Spirit of the Father and the Son. The Holy Spirit, whom the Apostle Paul speaks of when he writes in Romans 8:11, if the Spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. We don't even need to be afraid of death, the worst case scenario, because the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead so that he overcame death and rose to newness of life and lives forever, that same Spirit lives in us. So if the worst thing happens and we die, death isn't the end. We will be raised to life by the same Spirit and enter into the same place where Jesus is, preparing a place for us. So we don't need to be afraid of death. We will be raised to life through Christ. And the greatest work that Jesus accomplishes is through his crucifixion and the resurrection and the ascension to God's right hand. He suffers torture, taking our sin away. He enters into death so that he can overcome death. And he rises to the throne of heaven so that he can prepare a place for us there. What could be greater than that? When Jesus says, you'll do greater works than these. Well, the only thing that I can imagine that would be greater than that, what the Son of God accomplished, would be that for us who are created and who have sinned, would enter into that same journey as the Son of God, that we too would overcome death and the grave and be raised to newness of life, and that we as created sinful beings would be so transformed that we too would be welcomed at the right hand of God and have a place there forever, transformed from sinners into saints, brought from darkness into the marvelous light of God. What Jesus did for himself, he does for us who are created and sinful. And that, I think, is the greatest work. And every single person who comes to believe in Jesus will experience this work of faith. And as the disciples, we also share this salvation with others. And along the way, by God's grace, through faith in the working of his Holy Spirit, he's glorified through some of the good works that we do in his name. And so that as we pray and as we live in Jesus' name, who is the way, the truth, and the life, And when we pray for this greatest work, the salvation of souls, and that people might experience the benefit of his salvation here and now, Jesus promises to hear those prayers and to answer what we ask in his name, according to his will. And our great work includes bringing those into the experience that Peter describes in his letter in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. You are a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. To experience that for ourselves and to bring others into that experience is the greater work. It's what Jesus encourages us to pray in his name and to proclaim it, the excellencies of God, and to live in his light, shining it even in the darkness around us, even in a time experiencing the darkness that we are in these days. We have this glorious light to shine. That's our greater work. So let not your hearts be troubled. Jesus is preparing a place in you for you in the kingdom of heaven, and he's given you the Holy Spirit who brings the kingdom of heaven to you now in the present day. In him you have peace. Let us pray. Oh, Jesus, we thank you for this great work that you did on our behalf. Even as you were speaking these words to your disciples, you know that you were going to be arrested that night, tortured and turned over to the authorities to be crucified, and that you would die bearing the sins of all people. And in the midst of that, you loved us so much that you spoke to us about life in this world, that our hearts would not be troubled and that we would have peace through you. So, Father, we ask you to give us the benefits of Christ's sacrifice today and of his resurrection and of his ascension and of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and fill us with your Holy Spirit. And God, help us as your children to proclaim the excellencies of your salvation, even as we live in the benefits of it today, having peace and having hope and walking in faith. May your name be glorified, O God, the name of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. And I invite you at this time to stand and to declare your faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is visible and invisible. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, known being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray for the church and for the world. Almighty and ever-living God, We are taught by your holy word to offer prayers and supplications and to give thanks for all people. We humbly ask you mercifully to receive our prayers. Inspire continually the universal church with the spirit of truth, unity, and concord, and grant that all who confess your holy name may agree in the truth of your word and live in unity and godly love. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, our governor, whose glory fills all the world, we commend this nation to your merciful care, that we may be guided by your providence and dwell secure in your peace. Grant to the president of this nation, the governor of this state, and to all in authority, wisdom and strength to know and to do your will. Fill them with the love of truth and righteousness, and make them continually mindful of their calling to serve this people in reverent obedience to you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give grace, Heavenly Father, to all bishops, priests, deacons, and ministers, and especially to your servants, Foley Beach, our Archbishop, to John, our Bishop, to Craig, our rector, and to all who minister at Church of the Redeemer, that by their life and teaching they may proclaim your true and life-giving word and rightly and duly administer your holy sacraments. And to all your people, give your heavenly grace, especially to this congregation, that with reverent and obedient hearts we may hear and receive your holy word and serve you in holiness and righteousness all the days of our lives. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Prosper, we pray, all those who proclaim the gospel of your kingdom throughout the world, and strengthen us to fulfill your great commission, making disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them to obey all that you have commanded. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, by your gift alone we come to wisdom and true understanding. Look with favor, we pray, on our universities, colleges, and schools, that knowledge may be increased among us and wholesome learning flourish and abound. Bless those who teach and learn, and grant that in humility of heart they may ever look to you, the fountain of all wisdom. Lord, in your mercy, we ask you in your goodness, O Lord, to comfort and sustain all who in this transitory life are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, persecution, or any other adversity. We especially lift up to you Jane, Wayne, Gary, Meg, Joe, Judy, Anna, Samantha, and Pat. Lord, in your mercy, we remember before you all servants who departed this life in your faith and fear, that your will for them may be fulfilled. And we ask you to give us grace to follow the good example of all your saints, that we may share with them in your heavenly kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, your prayers, praises, and prophetic words are invited at this time.
Thank you.
Father, I pray for Kaylee Rios and her family. We continue to pray for healing, for miraculous healing for her, for strength, for comfort, and your awesome presence to be with her and her family. God, I pray for health and help for the person in the four-wheeler accident near the church last night. God, I pray for anyone suffering with an ongoing illness or pain that treatment has been delayed for. I pray for healing and strength. And God, I pray that you would reveal yourself as their healer. God, we pray for all the people working on this virus, the researchers, the doctors, and also for the leaders in this country. Give wisdom, faith, and the fear of the Lord, and lead all of us in truth. God, bless all those whose businesses have suffered due to this shutdown. Bless those who are unemployed. God, I pray that you bring about a speedy and full recovery, success and prosperity for the businesses in our church and in our community. And I pray for students, God, who have been learning online. I pray for those in our church, God, that their wisdom, knowledge, and understanding will come from above, come from you during this time. Father, we ask you to help this church and all churches, God, maneuver during these times. Give us vision, the way forward. Help us to be wise and also faithful. And Father, we join our prayers with all of those watching and listening. We come into agreement, Lord, with their prayers also, as we lift up our petitions to your throne through Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Amen. And now let us humbly confess our sins unto Almighty God. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who in his great mercy has promised forgiveness of sins to all those who sincerely repent and with true faith turn to him, have mercy upon you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit bring you to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Hear the word of God to all who truly turn to him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
Please stand. The peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you always.
And with your spirit.
All right. Peace. And also, I want to wish Happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers and grandmothers here and watching. I hope you all have a blessed day. And as we approach the Lord's table, I just want to highlight verse 4 from Peter's first letter. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. All that we offer to God is through Jesus. And all that we offer is, even though it be material, is a spiritual sacrifice as it comes from our heart and through Christ. So the first thing to offer is yourself as you come to the Lord's table. Offer Him yourself as a spiritual sacrifice. And then whatever He's given to you, offer back to Him as a sacrifice also. And then as you're led, give generously to those in need, to the church, to the house of God. But all things come to Him through Christ and is welcomed, especially yourself. Amen. Please stand. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right,
our duty and our joy, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. But chiefly are we bound to praise you for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. For He is the true Paschal Lamb, who was offered for us and has taken away the sin of the world, who by His death has destroyed death, and by His rising to life again, has won for us everlasting life. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love you made us for yourself. And when we had sinned against you and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent your only Son, Jesus Christ, into the world for our salvation. By the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, he became flesh and dwelt among us. In obedience to your will, he stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself once for all, that by his suffering and death we might be saved. By his resurrection, he broke the bonds of death, trampling hell and Satan under his feet. By his as our great high priest, he ascended to your right hand in glory, that we might come with confidence before the throne of grace. On the night he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, Jesus took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, and we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your word and Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. And sanctify us also, that we may be made one with one body with him, that he may dwell in us and we in him. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us with all your saints into the joy of your heavenly kingdom, where we shall see our Lord face to face. It's by him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia. Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed once for all upon the cross. Let us pray together. We do not presume to come to this your table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your abundant and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord whose character is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, give us your peace. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you. Feed on them in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. The body of Christ, the bread of heaven. The body of Christ, the bread of heaven. The blood of Christ, the cup of salvation. The blood of Christ, the cup of salvation. The body of Christ, the bread of heaven. 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 Let us pray together the post-communion prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of your Son and heirs of your eternal kingdom. And now, Father, send us out into the world to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Lord. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit, be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in the knowledge and love of Jesus Christ. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let us go forth into the world rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Alleluia, alleluia. Thanks for being here, and thanks for joining us, everybody.